News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Sometimes Kane is a victim of a pick six. You know, the traffic's going one way. Going, say you're watching the game on TV and your team is going from left to right and suddenly, oh, it's picked up. Going the other way. And that's what happens where it's Kane's traffic ends up being a little short, and it reminds me of a pick six. Like, oh, that's the end of that drive.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those in Tennessee Vols games this year.
It is 8:07 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, and Mobile Mornings. Love to hear from you on the phone, if you like. 343-0106. Also, that is the same line where you can text us as well. Oh, Sherry and Fred and Buddy are doing that right now.
Yeah, and TGIF, Dan.
TGIF, from Lance Pride to us, and everybody at the USA Network. So TGIF, TGIF means thank God it's Friday. I was surprised that Lance didn't lay that
explain
on us.
Explain it. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what he was trying to say.
He's a very good explainer.
Yeah.
It's 7 after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5.
And there's a lot we can talk about this hour. With it being a Friday, why don't we call it a free-for-all Friday? Anything that's on your mind you want to talk about, 343-0106, and we'll go through the calls and texts. But I want to lead off with something that is on our website now and also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, or if you're going to the website, just FMTalk1065.com, and our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Question: would you vote to legalize lottery, casino gaming, and sports betting in Alabama? Would you vote yes on the gaming bill that's been introduced here by Senator Del Marsh? Now, that's all that they are doing in Montgomery. This will not automatically, if this bill that was put out by Del Marsh sails through, which it's looking like it might, and is signed by Governor Ivey, that would just bring it to a vote for the citizens of Alabama.
And that'd be up to us.
That would be up to us. And then at that point, a lot of the campaign advertising would, I'm sure, begin with people either pushing for or against the legalization of gambling in Alabama. And it looks like it will make it through pretty easily as far as this particular bill is concerned through the legislature in Montgomery. Now, how long has this been going on? This
forever.
Push and pull. It's been at least two decades, right?
Maybe absolutely
longer.
Yeah, but I haven't picked up as much, but I would think, Siegelman back in the day, he ran on it.
Yeah.
And then you're right about the advertising and the campaigns that are going to come out. Who now, we know what was going on 20 years ago. Maybe we didn't all know it at the time, but there were certain factions that didn't want gambling in Alabama, among those the casinos in Mississippi. Right?
Right. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Among those, you would think that the Poarch Creek Indians would have an interest in no gambling other than where they are.
Exactly.
Then you've got the dog tracks and all that are just popped around the state, one being here in Mobile. Now they're all cut in.
Yeah, and don't forget about the electric bingo halls.
Electric bingo.
Which electric bingo, another word for? Yeah, slot machines, basically.
Let me make the statement, clear that up a little bit. Mississippi's not all, they're not cut into this one, but we're taking care of the dog track areas, and we're taking care of the Poarch Creek Indians,
that's right.
To the degree that they're happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so who will oppose?
And then the other side of that, which has been a major issue and part of the reason that this legislation has just never made it through, is where that money will end up. The money that is made by the state taxing gambling profits.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Marsh in this bill has kind of tried to make everyone happy as much as he possibly can. And it's also interesting reading in the Yellowhammer news story that's been put out by Sean Ross. And by the way, Sean Ross and also our own Jeff Poor doing an outstanding job kind of getting the temperature of a lot of the legislative members and what they feel about this gambling bill, but also reporting on, you know, what's happening day in and day out in Montgomery. And the way Del Marsh, who sponsored this bill, Senator Marsh, is going about this is he's really trying to get advice or input from each of the members as to what they would like to see included in the bill or how they can work together. And then, you know,
he's trying to keep it as little contention as possible.
Exactly. So next week, the legislature will be out for that break during their legislative session. Remember, they normally take it later in the year, but because of the pandemic, they wanted to take a break two weeks in and kind of reassess the situation. Mm-hmm. So during that week, Senator Marsh said that he's going to kind of rework the bill, make mm-hmm. a little bit of changes mm-hmm. regarding the input that he's receiving.
Make it even more palatable.
Week. But everyone that has been talked to, either by Jeff Poor or other media in the state or on Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan, they seem to think that this thing will eventually, this gambling bill will eventually sail through pretty easily and will be signed by Governor Kay Ivey here in the next few weeks. So then you go from there to, well, how do the people of Alabama actually feel about this? And that's where I'd love to hear from you on the text line or on the phones, 343-0106. Are you okay with, you know, saying yes to all of this? Now, there in the bill, there's written in that there are currently four standing locations where casino gaming would be allowed and sports gambling would be allowed. Mm-hmm. Lottery would be a statewide thing, obviously. You'd be able to go into certain convenience stores or grocery stores mm-hmm. and purchase lottery tickets. But for the casino gaming and sports betting, there would be four locations that would be allowed to host that, kind of. And then one soon-to-be-named location, which would be the Porch Creek Indians, I believe, building another casino in the northern part of the state. So that's five total locations. And since,
and one, of course, is down at Greyhound Park.
Right, in Theodore.
That, but not that Greyhound Park would remain Greyhound Park. It could be it could be built into something brand new.
Right, that's exactly right. And of course, you have the Porch Creek casinos that are already standing. But in addition to that, Del Marsh has said, and see if I can find it here in this article, you know, kind of in order to get more of the legislature on board, they would make it so that two future locations would also be eligible, okay. two locations that have not yet been named in the state of Alabama, that which would provide some incentive to other parts of the
right.
of the state to bring that in. So that's kind of how the bill is working right now. And I was looking back at a poll, and this poll actually just came from last year, right after the governor's study group on gambling policy released their report.
Mm-hmm.
And so this polling group, McLaughlin and Associates, had a poll in November of last year. Now, only 500 Alabamians participated in this poll, but they were 500 Alabamians who said they did plan to vote in the 2022 general election, which I presume would be when this vote would eventually make its way onto the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And in that poll, they were only asked about lottery. Because I think until this Del Marsh Bowl bill, not many people thought that casino gambling and sports betting would be included. So as far as whether these 500 people favored or opposed a statewide lottery, 71% said they strongly favor having a statewide lottery.
That's amazing.
This was in November of last year.
That's amazing.
60% said they somewhat favor. As far as opposition, 25% said they strongly oppose. So not a whole lot of, you know, milquetoast opinions in this poll.
No.
71% strongly favor and 25% strongly oppose. Everyone else kind of somewhere right there in the middle. And I wonder first if those numbers have changed with casino gaming and sports gambling included in the bill. And I wondered locally what kind of the feel is around this, especially now that, you know, it could be coming to Theodore with the Greyhound Dog Track there being one of those eligible places.
Donnie says, yes, absolutely. So all for it. Sly Dog says, I'm all for allowing a vote on gambling just as long as the money isn't designated for only higher education. So he's, look, the state's got a much more open mind than I remember 20 years ago for sure. Unless it was some sort of a smokescreen, we were under the impression.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, didn't seem like a religious or a moral thing years ago.
Yeah, it really did.
I shouldn't ask somebody that because you were like seven.
I was religiously opposed, yes.
We're going to go to the phone lines, too, here real soon. 815 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, 343-0106. Give us a call. Well, you can learn anything on the text line, I can tell you that. Interesting place to go and check things out. It's 828 FM Talk 106.5, talking about gambling here in the state of Alabama. And it looks like the winds are blowing that way here a little bit.
Yeah, and by the way, you'll want to stay tuned. If this topic interests you, you'll want to stay tuned to the Jeff Poor Show coming up at 10 o'clock. He will speak with the vice president of the Porch Band of Creek Indians, vice chairman Robbie McGee coming
on
the Jeff Porch
Show.
So we'll get his take as one of the top voices in the Porch Band of Creek Indians. So that'll be interesting. That's coming up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jim in Georgetown says, personally, I'd vote against gambling. However, I truly believe the vote should go to the people. Ricky also says it's up to the people. Ricky also shares with us today is Ricky's birthday.
Oh!
So let us all wish a happy birthday to Ricky.
Happy birthday to Ricky. So it's Ricky's birthday. Very good.
That's cool. That's great.
And Abraham Lincoln's birthday, he points out.
Yeah, that's right. So, thank you for sharing that personal tidbit with us, Ricky.
Donnie and Lillian said, yes, absolutely. The marriage between the beaches and a casino would be a windfall. And he said, also take away the bridge tolls. And, you know, at a 20% tax on the gambling revenue, that's...
You win, they win.
That's pretty high. I'd like to compare that to taxes for gambling in other states, but 20% going to the state is, whoo-wee, that's a pretty big pretty big number.
822 FM Talk 106.5. David's on the line right now. David, good morning.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great.
Doing well. What's your take on this?
On the Walmart vaccination thing real quickly, it's interesting. If you Google Walmart COVID vaccine, and you go to their website, it can't find any Mobile, Alabama locations. But if you go to the link provided through the news stories in the media, it takes you right to the Alabama listing.
We've got that link where, Dalton?
It's on our website right now, fmtalk1065.com. So, and also, if you want the link, we'll just text us and we'll send it to you.
Yeah, and so and Dalton, he's been there, David, and says, and obviously you're not of the age, or you're not qualified in any way, right?
I am qualified because I'm a healthcare worker.
Okay, so. Very good. Have you gotten the vaccine or have you applied online?
I got my appointment set for 7 a.m. Tuesday at Walmart, so cross your fingers.
Yeah, we'll need a report from you, David, once you get the vaccine. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. But on the casino gambling real quickly, first of all, there's no guarantee that there will ever be a casino at Mobile Greyhound Park because the Porch Creek Indians actually are a majority owner in that park, and there will only be a casino there if they want one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only about 54 acres out there. So we're not talking about a mega Las Vegas strip style resort. We're talking about maybe something similar in size to the Palace Casino over in Biloxi. So we're not talking anything big and huge there.
Right.
But what it would do if they did decide to build one there is it would make the Porch Creek Indians an even bigger player in the tourism market in Mobile because they'd have casinos in Mobile, Atmore, and then, of course, Owa. And then if they wanted to, they could probably go buy a used cruise ship and start cruising out of the cruise terminal.
Yeah, well,
we'll find out.
Casino at Owa, they wouldn't be allowed to do that now.
What, a casino? No. I'm talking about they own Owa. Now, there wouldn't be a casino at Owa.
Right.
They just own Owa. But see, if you own all these properties, a smart marketing person can go and start packaging these packaged vacation packages to people all around the Southeast to come to one of multiple properties and take advantage of the different properties.
It sounds like you should be the marketer of Owa.
And there's another side of that argument that Sean Sullivan's been bringing up here the last couple of days. Is this too close to a monopoly for the Porch Band of Creek Indians with only certain designated sites and the Porch Creek Indians having such a major role in this rollout of gambling in Alabama? Is that giving them too much power or too much of the
too
land
much of the market
this,
size.
Too much
so,
of the market?
So 10 o'clock today. Is it 10:30 is when
10 o'clock chairman of the Porch Band of Creek Indians, Robbie McGee, will be on to talk with Jeff about this. And then the other part, which,
I like when you leave speculation, you just go right to the source itself. And then we could talk about this all we want, but Jeff's going to have some answers or certainly get some answers from somebody very high up with the Porch Creek Indians.
And on both sides, because Jeff and Sean have talked with Senator Del Marsh and also having Robbie McGee on from the Porch Band. So that's both sides, pretty much the top players on both sides. The only one we haven't talked to is Governor Kay Ivey, who let her feelings be known during the State of the State address. Now, one text earlier, somebody saying, and if I can remember what the text was, they said, as long as it doesn't go to higher education, some of those funds, well, it does look like it will go towards higher education, at least the money coming from the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So they've broken down where the money goes in the lottery and from casino gambling and from sports gambling. And that lottery money, just like so many other states that have passed lottery bills, that lottery money would go towards Education, and they're going to establish an Alabama Education Lottery Corporation to kind of divvy out those funds, and that would go towards scholarships to both two-year and four-year institutions. And then a lot of the money from casinos and from the sports gambling, I believe, would go to the Alabama General Fund, and then a portion of the money. Actually, it was John Rogers' bill that had a portion of the money going to Department of Corrections. I'm not sure. I need to read through the Del Marsh bill once again to see if they will send money from there into the Department of Corrections. But also with the sports gambling, now they kind of took a mix of what Mississippi is doing with sports gambling and what Tennessee is doing. In Mississippi, they passed that you can gamble on sports just a couple years ago, but you have to actually be inside the casinos.
Right.
And, of course, that's only in either Biloxi or Tupelo, I think, mm-hmm. northern part of the state. So no online sports gambling in Mississippi. In Tennessee, it's the exact opposite. They don't have the casinos there for sports gambling, no brick-and-mortar sports books, but they have allowed online gambling, which just went online at the beginning of this football season. So in Alabama, they're going to allow each of these gambling locations to have up to three dedicated online sports books. So if you work that out, I mean, there could possibly be 15 different online sports books that would be legal to wager from in Alabama. What would happen then? I imagine they would work out deals possibly with FanDuel or DraftKings, some of these places that have turned into not just daily fantasy apps, but also sports gambling apps. And then you have your MGMs and some of these casinos that have already been working and having online sports books. And I imagine they would get involved somehow. But I also think that daily fantasy bill that passed, what, a year or 2 years ago, that allowed Alabamians to play these daily fantasy games.
Don't you know it?
That was kind of a step up into this, and maybe by doing that, that made it easier for the legislature to kind of come to this decision.
I feel a little bit like Jace, too. I'm not a gambler. Have never been a gambler. As much as I follow sports, watch sports, that element of it has never been part of why I enjoy sports, or even going to the casinos, to Biloxi. It's never really, you know, it's just not my thing, right? Jace says 25% firmly against sounds more like the poll saying 25% in Alabama against gambling.
Against the lottery, yes.
Against the lottery, I should say. 25% are openly hypocritical who believe imposing their own skewed viewpoints of morality is moral. I don't gamble. I don't play lottery. I have no interest in it. But if you want to gamble, fine, gamble. That's what Jace has got to say.
Yeah, and that's a take, too, that these people that are against it are hypocritical. But I do think there are people who are earnest in their views that with gambling comes a host of ills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you've heard Sean Sullivan argue or talk about it on Midday Mobile. Right now, with gambling being available across state lines and certainly the lottery being available, those ills are coming back home anyway without the revenue. But if gambling is more available inside the state, then you know,
more widespread.
Yeah, and there's also the argument that the lottery in particular, and also penny slots, that those are a tax on sometimes the poorest citizens, that you know, they're just looking for that one shot, or they're led to believe that there are more widespread jackpot winners than there actually are, and you go out and spend what limited income you have on that. And you've kind of been hoodwinked by the entire casino or lottery industry. So there's that argument too.
Well, that's where, you know, you're a person, you got a brain, you kind of you factor that in a little bit. You're like, you know what, that was not a good experience. I don't think I'm going to do that again. One of the things about gambling too that has never really appealed to me simply is it's the environment of it is not appealing in any way.
You mean being inside casinos?
Inside casinos, it's just not, it's not for me. To some, it may be exciting. To me, it's borderline annoying.
Yeah.
And so I just don't have the Jones for gambling.
Last time I went to Biloxi, it was before sports gambling was legalized there. I set out money. I was going to play it on the slots and things. I ended up just sitting at the bar and gambling on offshore sports books and watching the games there in Biloxi.
Gambling on bourbon on the rocks. If you can make it back to your room. 830 FM Talk 1065.
FM Talk 1065. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 1065 with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. I think I can say the station name a few more times, right?
So
FM Talk
1065. So this station is what? So we are, are we AM or FM?
We are FM.
What's the number? Like, where would you find it on the dial?
106.5 on the dial. who joins us right now on FM Talk 106.5.
Tell me.
Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, y'all can come join us on Dolphin Street. Why not?
Why not? And lots going on at McConnell this weekend. First off, the Yardi Gras deals that you have. Tell us about those.
That's right. We got some great deals going on Buicks. You get money and 0%. I mean, they don't have that play in a long time. It's kind of unheard of. Buicks, great cars. We're having great success with them. Don't forget, we got the great used cars, too. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got a great selection of pre-owned GM certifieds, which gives you an extra 12-12 on the warranty. Today's going to be a slick day. Don't forget, we got a great body shop. Gary and the girls and the guys back there will take care of all your needs. You can give them a call at 251-476-4141 if that unfortunate accident happens. So, but come see us on Dolphin Street.
There you go. And, Louie, a personal question here, something I'd like to know. You know, I love the AT4 trucks. I love the Yukons, but that AT4 Yukon is pretty sweet. Do you have any of those on the lot right now? I know they're tough to come by.
We got some AT4 trucks. They're hard to come by, especially with the 6.2 motors. I think we got one left.
Okay.
I know we got a couple with the 5.3s, but we'll have some, you know, with this chip shortage out there, the inventory's real, real short, so... When we get one in, you need to come get it.
There you go. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Was he on a treadmill? Was Louie at the gym right there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Breathing hard. It's 838 FM Talk 106.5. I think we've established that. It's Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Sly Dog does agree with me as far as the casino experience. Mm-hmm. He's not crazy about all that going on. He said it kind of is depressing, not just the casino experience, but the fact that people are there smoking like chimneys and losing money.
And I guess, and I think a lot of our experiences come from the Biloxi casinos. Mm-hmm. Certainly many of us have been out to Vegas and in those casinos. So a huge part of your casino experience comes first from the casino that you go to.
Sure, yeah.
But also the part of the casino that you're in. You know, so the penny slots in Biloxi in that same casino, those might be a little depressing to be around. Like Sly Dog said, the people with the oxygen tanks gambling away their retirement.
That's what I see.
But you go back there, and I've never been in like the VIP blackjack suite or, you know, any of those VIP or high roller areas. I imagine those aren't too depressing unless you actually, you know, lose a lot of money at those places.
It's depressing at the very end of the night.
when you've
done the math and found out what you've gained and what you've lost.
Yeah, and David asks, will Marsh's bill allow for slot machines and table games to be played on cruise ships in Alabama territorial waters? Not sure about that. I think you can in federal waters, right, on the cruise ships that leave port here in Mobile.
Yeah, then
once you get into federal waters,
you're free to have a big time.
You can
do
that, and you can buy the biggest bottle of whatever for cheap prices and Rolexes too, right? Duty free, but
sure.
Not sure if that would change the rules for gambling in Alabama's territorial waters. And then the OWA thing, that's interesting too. I the way I read it, I don't think that Porch Creek Band of Indians would be allowed to construct a casino at OWA, but if they did, that would be really interesting.
I mean, you'd be hitting all the bases down there, wouldn't you? You've got a roller coaster. You got the kids. You got cotton candy. You got a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You got the vaccine here recently.
You could do a threefer right there, like a three-team parlay. Get your vaccine, go gamble in the casino, and then ride a roller coaster.
You want to hear the first time I was ever in a casino in my life?
Yes.
Real quick? It was in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a radio station in Las Vegas that, believe it or not, was interested in me. So they fly me out there to Las Vegas. This is like 1988, 1989, whatever. They fly me out to Las Vegas. They're just going to whisk me. They're going to recruit me. They take me to the casino. USC was playing that Saturday. USC Notre Dame. I remember that.
Back when they were good. Both
teams. When they were good, right. And so, but that Friday, they took me to the casino. We had a nice like steak dinner. The act came out. And the act was, womp, 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 Bill Cosby.
Oh, no.
Now, in the day, it was like, wow, Bill Cosby. I get to see Bill Cosby. And seriously, I thought his act sucked. It wasn't no good.
You're not just saying that now.
No, I'm not just saying that now. On the plane back, I think I was telling people, Bill Cosby was terrible.
Yeah.
But he kind of mailed it in a little bit. You know, you ever have a after dinner speaker and they didn't prepare. They're not really ready to go. He sat on his chair and he smoked his cigar and he told what he thought were funny stories, but it did not live up to what I thought Bill Cosby would do. And as it turned out, having a bad stand-up act that night was the least of his problems.
That was his heyday, too, right?
Yeah,
that
was
Cosby Show heyday, I would imagine.
It was.
Did you keep a close eye on your drink that night?
I did not.
Okay.
He was on the stage. I was in the eighth row.
That's pretty dangerous. You know, speaking of liquor, this other state bill, I think,
I
is pretty
this.
Interesting, too. It looks like this is another one that will sail right through legislation, at least the legislative session.
We both have a friend,
Montgomery,
by the way, who's in the wine business. Mm-hmm. This is going to mean a lot to him personally, where he won't have to run around like a bootlegger.
So it's Senate Bill 126, and this is the one regarding the delivery of beer, wine, liquor from grocery stores and restaurants and other licensed retailers. Now, this made it out of the Senate committee pretty easily, then sailed through the Senate, as far as I could tell, and I'll try to find an exact vote. It was 25-4, the vote yes on Senate Bill 126 in the Senate yesterday. So it's now a House vote away from Governor Ivey's desk. And the way this would work is the grocery stores. So, you know, if you're making, I guess, your Walmart, Publix, Rouse's, Greer's grocery store order, you would be able to, if they were licensed by the state of Alabama, you would be able to order your
wine and beer,
your drinks for Saturday or what have you, directly from them.
Why wait to Saturday? Go ahead.
But also restaurants, which I think is interesting. And I, of course, like so many, have ordered, you know, Waiter or Uber Eats or whatever from.
Do you do that a lot with the young family?
No, not anymore. Actually, I've been doing it less since we had our children because, I mean, the delivery fees are, quite frankly, outrageous.
Okay.
And if I can just drive down the street and pick up an order, that cuts a lot off the bill. But if you were to order from these restaurants, then say you're ordering from a Mexican restaurant on a Friday night, you get your quesadillas, you get your tacos, and also a pitcher of margarita on the way, too.
How about that?
It would really change things for Alabama. And I think liquor stores that are licensed would be able to do this as well. I thought it was also interesting. One of the amendments to this bill requires a criminal background check to be conducted on the delivery drivers that are licensed to deliver. So if you're a delivery driver, I don't know if like a misdemeanor would count against you to where you wouldn't be allowed to deliver alcohol, or if it's just felonies, but they would not be having former criminals as part of the delivery process there.
You really cut into the market if you're talking about anybody that's ever had any kind of brush with the law at all. Wouldn't you think it would be more felonies and up?
Yeah.
Is there anything up from felonies?
I don't know what percentage of the workforce that would cut out from being allowed to be delivery drivers.
Let me just say a great deal.
So that's kind of an interesting amendment. And they also increased the amount of alcohol that would be allowed per delivery. I think when the bill came out before the amendment, it was like a pretty low level of alcohol that would actually be allowed to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of raises how much you're allowed to have delivered. But look, this is 2021, and I know a lot of people are against a lot of these things we've been talking about, but did you ever in your mind think same legislative session we'd be talking about legalizing not just lottery, but casino gaming and sports betting and the delivery of alcohol to homes?
I love the image of the pitcher that they had actually been made. The pitcher of margaritas.
Right. Would they bring that huge margarita glass with you?
Sorry, we kind of spilled part of it. It's 8:46 at FM Talk 106.5. More your calls and texts, 343-0106. Love to hear from you. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on air guitar.
I'm rocking it, man.
You are. It's 8:51 on FM Talk. A lot of texts on the text line. That's where they are, of course. People talking about gambling. And yeah, we already read the one about the cruise ships, right? You've got to be
out. Yeah, we talked about the cruise ship one. Let's take a call. Robert and Mobile on the line. And morning, Robert. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Dan and Dalton.
Yes, sir.
The only thing I can say is you all got the best program on in the morning. You're keeping me up to date and the other listeners, too.
You're very
kind.
You're
doing a great job, man.
Thank you.
And Dan, he tickled me about the margaritas, man.
I think
you all have a good day.
Thank you, buddy. I think that was Dalton's suggestion. I think about drive. You know, you drive all that way with the pitcher. You're asking for it a little bit. You're going to spill some out.
Lots of slosh. Lots of slosh in the car with the pitcher of margaritas.
How are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. You great. Guys doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask Dalton. Dalton, how are them little girls doing, okay?
They are good. We actually have a birthday today. So tomorrow, around this time, I will be wearing Minnie Mouse ears. Unless they got me some Mickey Mouse ears. I'll be wearing some mouse ears nonetheless for the birthday party for the 2-year-old. Okay. But they're doing good. Thanks for asking, Robert.
Okay, I want to say happy birthday to them. Okay, you all have a good one, okay?
Thank you very much.
You too, Robert. One of my favorite callers there.
Thanks,
giving us a call.
So there's a breaking news story right there that Dalton identifies as a female mouse.
You didn't know that?
Now I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Been like that for a while. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show today, we already mentioned at 10 o'clock, Robbie McGee, vice chair of the Porch Band of Creek Indians, will, I presume, speak a little bit about this gambling bill that's making its way through the halls in the Capitol in Montgomery. Also coming up in the first hour, Congresswoman Carol Miller out of West Virginia. She'll give her take on what's happening at the nation's capital. Then at 11 o'clock, Congressman Robert Adderholt, same thing. And at 11:30, as he comes on every week on Friday, State Senator Chris Elliott will join the show. So you don't want to miss that. Jeff, again, has the best guests lined up for today's show. And, you know, this story we've been talking about over the last week, I think has there been an update on the Gorilla Glue story? Dan?
Has there been an update on it?
Let me check. There has been an update.
We'll file it under animal news because of the Gorilla Glue. I think the first thing you have to realize is this young lady, I think, was, as a lot of younger people do now, she was living her life on Instagram. You know, she was an influencer, but maybe she was.
There's people that I think claim to be influencers.
And they're only influencing people to pity them. So I don't know what she was, but anyway, Dalton takes, as is the case with most of the show, Dalton takes it from here.
Yeah, and I guess some people felt pity for this woman who put Gorilla Glue in her hair. I didn't. You know, pity was not really what I felt.
I understand.
It's not the emotion that came up. But this woman from Louisiana, Tessica Brown, if you missed the story, I guess, I don't know, did she run out of hairspray or hairstyling gel or something?
I think she put so much Gorilla Glue in her hair that she ran out of Gorilla Glue.
So she put Gorilla Glue in her hair instead, and then it stuck her hair to her head for, I believe, weeks.
Yeah,
this went on for a long time.
I think this is a month-long sojourn now.
Yeah.
And been involved with it. Now she ended up in the
operating room. So she went to the emergency room, and I don't think that, you know, actually somebody sent her some solution of I don't know, some kind of like acidic water and something else.
Remember
that was
James the engineer had a suggestion yesterday.
Yeah, was it peanut butter? Is
almost
that right?
Like he experienced the same thing himself.
Sunscreen.
Now, part of it was he is an engineer, but part of his confession told me a darker story that James himself had once put Gorilla Glue in his hair. That's speculation.
Yeah.
Now, back to Dalton.
And remember, Gorilla Glue responded to this story saying
don't look at us.
They're like, it's on the label. You don't put it on your skin and certainly not your hair, but that didn't stop Tessica Brown. And even the GoFundMe got started for, and I want to say that, you know, thousands of dollars was raised on this GoFundMe for, again, a person that put Gorilla Glue in her hair. And the emergency room, they couldn't figure it out, so she ends up going to this, and, you know, there's always time for free publicity. She goes to this Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, and normally this procedure would cost $12,500. He did it for free and was able to finally remove the glue from Tessica Brown's hair.
Wait a second. Where did she go again to get this done?
I don't know if the Beverly Hills plastic surgeon came to her or if she was given a free trip out to Beverly Hills where he could work on getting the Gorilla Glue out of her hair, but he eventually did. And TMZ somehow had footage from inside the operating room.
She's from Louisiana.
Yes.
So she ended up with a Beverly Hills surgeon that was able to
remove the glue.
Wow.
And there's video footage from TMZ in the operating room. And
her life's an open book.
It's almost like brain surgery where they put the cloth over everywhere except where they're operating.
Sure.
They kind of had that situation going here. And you see her running her hands through her hair where she's finally able to do so.
Isn't that great?
There you go. I guess a happy ending to the person that put Gorilla Glue in their hair and became famous for it. I also saw that she might be suing Gorilla Glue, like some well, trial lawyers or something. I don't know. Some lawyers are going to jump on her case for more free publicity and possibly sue the Gorilla Glue company.
Yeah, I think Gorilla Glue is they're solid. Their case is pretty solid. Like you say, it's Gorilla Glue.
Yeah.
You would a 4-year-old would know. Well, maybe not a 4-year-old, but putting it in your hair is kind of a 4-year-old kind of stunt, don't
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, I would say so. And I'm not looking forward to that day when that happens in my household. A couple stories I wanted to get to.
And happy birthday to Izzy, by the way.
Yeah, I'll let her know. I'll let her know, and she'll be like, okay, thanks. The gas prices, that's what I wanted to get to this morning, and kind of running short on time now here. But gas prices, have you seen nationally, now at a 12-month high, the average gas price up to $2.50 per gallon. That's much higher than April of last year when we hit $1.74 per gallon nationally. Now, wasn't that when Russia and Saudi Arabia were in kind of like a fuel war, right? Weren't they putting out just amazing amounts of fuel?
And as good as the news was for us at the pumps, it was not good at all for the industry. And it was horrible for the industry.
And that just happened to be when most people, or more people than usual, were not traveling because there were so many shutdowns.
Great point, then. Because so, the pandemic had really just started, and then the gas prices were so low, and it was a bad, you know, set of circumstances for anybody in the oil industry.
So then I took a look at the average price for Mobil gas, and the chart I had, which I swear I did have.
They were down like 170 or something at one time, right?
Yeah, right now the average is somewhere around, I want to say 220, 225, okay, something like that. But when we got low, it was at like $1.49 last April. So
was
we're already,
it really?
Yeah, we're already seeing the average gas prices go way up, and I imagine no stopping them now. They're going to continue to go up for a while.
Yeah, but consider this. They were way, way down. I mean, that was an anomaly for them to be $1.49 or whatever it was. Anything less than $2 in my lifetime in many, many years is crazy low.
Yeah, really. Yeah, no doubt about that. And then I also saw this story. I don't know, pass this along at the water cooler. Certainly don't pass COVID-19 along at the water cooler.
No.
But a mathematical biology professor out of England did the math. And he figured out how many COVID-19 virus particles are circulating the world.
Right.
With so many people sick, he said the amount of COVID-19 virus particles could fit in one can of Coca-Cola.
Wow.
That's how little bitty it is.
Causing a big problem.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's 8:59. Thank you for your fine work today, Dalton.
Hey, Dan, I'll see you on Monday.
FM Talk 106.5. And Jeff Poore on the way next.